to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. So I was going to move on from this, but I want to finish up these phone calls. This information is from Career Addict. So you can go to Career Addict, and Career Addict, this is Sion Philippot. He's a career and entrepreneur expert. There are some degrees that aren't worth the debt. And so this is what he does. And at this site, you know, they will show you how to do resumes, interviews, job search, choosing a career, career development, professional skills, entrepreneurship. This is not a fly-by-night site. This is a site that deals specifically with education.
This wasn't you just picking out the 28 most useless degrees to yourself. Earl.
Well, absolutely not. I wouldn't come on. I don't ever come on and do this show without having done some research. It's the reason I always say, if people want to challenge what I'm saying, 844-967-2789, because I've done my research. Let's go to Karina. Quickly, Karina, you want to finish up your thought?
Right.
Yeah, I think before you were saying, and this, I never understood why we don't do this in America. You said you went to college in Russia and you went to college in America. And it's not just in Russia, in Germany and other places. They look at students at very young ages and determine whether or not they'll be successful in certain fields. And they direct them towards trades if that's, you know, an area that they've noticed that they're good in. We don't do that in this country. And we make a big mistake when we don't do that. Go ahead.
And I think this is why. We're talking about the country where education is free. So for government, it's important that you actually have a good idea what you're good at. Nobody tells you don't be somebody else. I went to, but I end up teaching doctors. I end up teaching students. And the best what I do, and you know me, is explaining to you how medication works, how a doctor can apply it, what it is. So eventually, my characteristics from 5 years old up to 18 years old was exactly on point. Here, because it's a business, somebody makes money.
No question.
Teaching people. That's why there is no interest of giving them something useful, because then they're going to come back and they have to do minor and major and this and this, but they're not giving you what you will be able to use. On top of everything, in those countries, in Russia and Germany and England and France, when you are a good student, when you are the higher the grade, they actually pay a statement for it. They consider it your job. They put you in the college for a full time.
Hey, Karina.
2 hours a week.
I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for that important information. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm a couple years older than you. I graduated in 1970 from John Marshall. I went to college, got married a couple of times, ended up with a bachelor's degree in accounting and business ed in 1986. So I did the 16-year route with 198 undergrad credits. When I went to the high school counselor, they said, oh, you're college bound. Are you interested in teaching nursing? And the other one choice we had back then was secretarial school.
Right.
So I went to college and I would have stayed there forever and probably ruined it for a lot of people today, because after 120, 130 credits, they now start charging more for credit. But I took my kids when I was a single parent down to Central Library, and I was flipping through the job offerings for the government, county, state, city, and I found one where I met the minimum requirements and a college degree, master's preferred, was there. I didn't have my master's, but having just come out of college, I tested first out of 120 applicants for the economic development position at the city of Milwaukee and stayed there for 8 years. But without that degree, you did not meet minimum requirements. And my daughter went to MSOE, did not graduate. And my husband was always, what a waste. And I said, never, education is never a waste. So I will be encouraging my grandson. He's working at Target right now. But I'll be encouraging him to pick up a college course here and there so that someday he has the option.
So, Lynn, the question becomes, there are so many people who are winding up with degrees that aren't able to use for a living. And they've incurred tremendous sums of debt, and they are asking for, you know, people to bail them out. That's the question. That's the issue.
Well, I also have a professional that I've known for 30 years, and her loan balance is higher than it was when she graduated. And I think that kind of scam where, you know, the educational loans are higher than when you started, I think that should be reversed, and government should put the brakes on that and go after those
You used the right verbiage. You said scam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I see the University of Phoenix advertising, and I think they're one of the companies that are involved in, you know, the student loans piling on heavy debt and not getting a degree. But I don't think if you go to an accredited college, I went to UWM, I went to MATC, I've taken some postgraduate courses at Cardinal Stritch, which is no longer there. I don't think you can ever take that education away from a person.
Hey, Lynn, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for sharing. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what, my friend?
Happy Motown Monday.
Yes, sir.
What a beautiful day. What a great way to start a good week. I just love this time of year. But I enjoyed listening to your last caller. And I just want to give you a quick little snapshot in my professional career. I didn't figure out my wheelhouse, you know, where I fit in best until I was 32 years old. I had plenty of sales jobs. I had plenty of, steady employment. I dabbled around in entrepreneurialism, owning a bike shop and a couple things in my 20s. But, you know, I had no idea that, you know, where I was going to go for the long term. I was more living for the moment because didn't have a whole lot of money. And you got to make sure you get the rent paid every year.
Right, but, right.
Then I became a senior manager where I ended up running a manufacturing facility, and I've hired over 100 salespeople. I've hired dozens and dozens of warehouse people and service personnel. And I'll tell you, the right hire for a business is so important. And what I got away from looking at all the accreditation and all the schools and classes. You know, it basically worked out. You know, I want a good attitude. candidates. I wanted people who had the desire to do a good job, people who I could count on to be, you know, taking the high road, you know, during company hours and doing the right thing, because people are always watching. Customers are always aware, you know. So I'll say for me, in my experience, the difference between somebody with all those accreditations and degrees, I want attitude. I want somebody who's coachable. I want somebody who's trainable, because everything requires continuous training today if you're going to be on your game and be very good at what you're doing. So if anyone's listening out there, for me, give me a good attitude. I'll build a program, you know, so you'll do well in our environment, and you're going to represent the company well, and you're going to have a path forward. The system that we put these young people in today, it looks like it's more of a opportunity to set them up to fail, to have them not necessarily even in the right field, but burdened with debt. We have a lot of work to do, and we need to take a different view on education and training our people for the future.
You know, Mike, always words of wisdom from you. I always relish our conversations. It's great to have you as a listener, as it is all of the listeners on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. On the other side, we're going to talk about the cost of hospitalization on the Earl Ingram Show, Motown Monday. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, and it wouldn't be a Motown Monday without Marvin Gaye. But anyway, read a couple emails.
Hang on, it wouldn't be the Earl Ingram Show without a little Marvin Gaye.
No,
come on, man.
That is well. That is well. But I'll read a couple of these texts before we move on. Tony. College is a really expensive way to prove you can finish something. PJ, we are supposed to be able to use our degrees, but the job market is and has been saturated. And he's talking about one of the callers, and when she went to college, it was maybe $1,000 per semester, and books were not $100 each. Today, that's been happening for decades. So let me and thanks for a great conversation on all of that. I wanted to talk about hospitals and healthcare. Now, I had to go and see a doctor on Friday, and you know, you see the doctor now once a year, maybe, if you're lucky. And if you have insurance, and I have Medicare, so I have insurance. If I had to pay out of pocket to go see, my doctors, I couldn't afford it. I just clearly could not afford it at my age, you know, soon to be 70 years old. I could not afford seeing three or four doctors. And so the way the system is set up, I see the doctors, I think my doctors once a year. Maybe it's twice if I'm lucky, but it's once a year. Do you realize what can happen to a person inside of a year before you can see a doctor? What can start manifesting itself in you, in your system, in your body, and something that starts to grow or impact or affect your body and all those different systems, heart, brain, lung, kidneys, liver, on, intestines, all and on and on and on. Based on what happens in the world today with the food we eat, the air we breathe, and all the things, and the water we drink, and all those things being poisoned. And yet we can only get to see the doctor so rarely. And yet, as I went, I couldn't help but see, man, how beautiful this hospital is. You know, Luke, I don't know many hospitals that are falling down.
I don't know about that, though.
Well, I can only go by what I see and where I live. Yeah. I live in Milwaukee, and there's not one hospital, and Milwaukee's a major metropolitan city. There's not one hospital that I go to or see that hasn't had brand new construction, that doesn't have the latest technology that has come into play. That's what they do. And so technology and the advancement of technology as far as medicine is concerned makes a major difference, but it costs money to utilize that technology.
And in Milwaukee, we have like nation-renowned
no question
services, but in the medical field, it is a very large chasm between the haves and the have-nots, because we've got rural areas across Wisconsin because these hospital mergers that are happening where you are seeing the hospitals leaving or being those crumbling and falling apart facilities. So Milwaukee is very lucky, but there are plenty of places across the state of Wisconsin where we're losing a lot of those local rural hospitals.
So there's no question that you're losing the rural hospitals. The issue is not so much that those hospitals are crumbling because of the lack of people to come to the hospitals. They're crumbling because corporations have taken over and mergers.
It's an industry, and
it's for-profit healthcare. And anytime we're talking about for-profit, there's a bottom line reality. And that's why I wanted to focus on with what's happening with these with hospitals' new message for patients to stay home. You know, I was talking about this before early on in the program this morning, that I had a buddy who just had two hip replacements inside of 4 months. Hip replacements. He actually was out of the hospital the next day. Spent one night in the hospital and then was sent on to recover at home. Don't get me wrong. Today's medicine is so advanced that, hip replacements 20 years ago required probably a 2-week stay in a hospital. But today a hip replacement only requires one night. And then you are back at home and you do these things and the recovery at home. But here's why I think it's an important conversation to have, because baby boomers, which many include many of you in this audience, as we age, And as we are going to be needing all sorts of support and medical support in the latter years of our lives, you know how I know? Because I saw that with my parents. And I saw how that went with them. And now there are many more of us in my age demographic than there were with our parents. And the hospitals have gotten, and the options have gotten smaller. And they're bigger. And so they're requiring more of people to do whatever it is they need to do in recovery at home. 844-967-2789 is the number. We're going to talk about this more as we move on in the show, because I think it's so important, a conversation. Again, the hospital that I was, man, they are the development that's taking place at this hospital is breathtaking. It's already one of the largest hospitals in the entire Midwest. And yet they're continuing with the continued growth of this facility. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You are better to me than I've been to myself. For me, there's you and nobody else. Stop and thank you, baby. I want to stop and thank you, baby. Oh, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Tell the
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number.
And Earl, I got some breaking news as well. Producer Greg Bach let us know it's Stevie's birthday today.
Oh, man. You know, Stevie Wonder. Let me see.
Lines up with a Motown Monday. So, how perfect.
So let me see. Stevie Wonder has to be 73 years old. 71?
74.
74.
I was pointing up for a higher.
Oh, well, hey, I mean, I remember as a young boy following Stevie Wonder. He's probably made more hits than almost anybody, and he's still at it.
Yeah, he had a... A new album, what, 2 years ago?
No, he's got one now.
He's got one again?
Absolutely. He's still at it. He's prolific. So anyway, I was talking about, hospitals' new messages for patients to stay home. And this is in Politico this morning. Hospitals want you to visit them less often. Empowered by Washington and armed with COVID-inspired health innovations, health executives are seeking to increasingly move care outside of the hospital despite the seeming risk to the bottom line. Now, hospital executives think they can more than make up the revenue by shifting their exam and recovery rooms to patients' homes, and Congress is urging them on with the legislation in the works to help hospitals expand their at-home offerings and allow Medicare to continue paying for telehealth after lawmakers first granted temporary permission after COVID struck. Luke, I see you shaking your head, but this is what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, this is just going to make the gap between the haves and the have-nots even worse.
And the only reason that this is even possible is because lobbyists for the hospitals have control over your political science degree over the elected officials. My show is constantly about trying to educate the American people on what is taking place. This is not good for the American people. To tell me that I should be doing and getting the help that I need at home, don't come to the hospital while you're building these spectacular facilities, I think there's something, not right about that.
Yeah. And then it also talks about, like, just imagine that you are in one of these rural areas where your hospital is now gone, but they're like, hey, but hang on. We're going to give you telehealth. We're going to let you still see the doctor, but it's going to be from your own home. But then, Earl, most of these communities don't have high-speed internet connections. So you're going to tell somebody that is already lacking the infrastructure of high-speed internet that their hospital's leaving, but the silver lining, if you look at it, is, oh, well, we could give you telehealth. But you can't because it's not there.
So what I'll say to people who live in those rural areas who don't have high-speed internet connection, President Joe Biden is doing everything within his power and the Democrats to get them that. Are you aware of that?
Here in Wisconsin, we also have an ally with Governor Tony Evers working to Democrats. Get as much as he can. Yeah.
Republicans are doing everything within their power.
Well, the free market, Earl, is going to get internet to those folks in rural Wisconsin and rural America as soon as it possibly can. The free market is handling those solutions.
Well, the free market is not free. And so we can talk
I'm being sarcastic.
Right. really. It really does. It's puzzling to me at best. Here's from Tony. If you're not on Lake Superior, you're missing out on the best of Wisconsin. So, my bottom line is the appeal to lawmakers is potential savings if remote care proves more efficient, but hospitals also see financial advantage. I understand that these things are businesses, but I've always questioned whether or not businesses should have more value in a society than people. We live in a society where businesses control what happens, and people are basically, left to the whim of what businesses think. So the bottom line for the hospital is, my profit. And as I stated earlier, if the hospitals have the best technology, the best, and it's great, man, we should want that. But I also think that the healthcare of people and human in a society shouldn't be determined on he who has the most money gets the best healthcare. That's just not a great idea. And it never has been. And it's part of what happens in this country that we just tolerate, One life to me has no more value than another life. I don't know how many times I have to say it. Because you have all the gold, your life shouldn't be more valuable to somebody who doesn't have any. But we live in a society that's the way it is. Hey, Cassandra, how you doing? Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Good morning to you. You say what?
Yeah, hi, Earl, you know, this is a rather timely conversation because many of the hospitals, they are in financial distress. And so they're looking for ways to cut corners. I am managing high blood pressure. I've been able to get it reduced.
You and I both.
So I am on medication to manage it. And when I first started taking the pills, the doctor was requesting I go in every couple of weeks so they could check my blood pressure to see if they had to adjust my prescription dosage. And so then when I got the bills, I thought, oh my gosh, much of it was not covered by the insurance. And so it was sad. I had to make a choice on how often I could go in to see the doctor in order to, in order to get my blood pressure at a healthy level. Now, I do have some funds, but can you imagine someone who has very little disposable income? It's just terrible to force people to make that choice over their own health and body. So that's all.
Well, before you go, Cassandra, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the reason that I'm having the conversation. Because we, again, live in a society where, and we have high blood pressure. So what are some of the reasons that we have high blood pressure? We know that they put salt in foods and almost everything that we don't even know about. And we eat these things, and the sodium that's in them, a lot of times you can't even see it. You don't even know it exists. And yet, these things help raise your blood pressure. And then so many Americans are suffering from it. And so if you can't afford to go to the hospital, what does it mean, Cassandra? It means that you die young. And so this is a serious, serious conversation. And it's why I say that life and the value of life shouldn't be determined by how much money you have. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And regarding the sodium, anyone who's battling high blood pressure, one bit of recommendation I can do, something that helped me, and I know many of the fast food restaurants are going to hate me for saying this, but limit your dining options in terms of fast food. If you're going to eat out, choose more healthier alternatives. Less red meat, less fried food, more vegetables. I've been able to get my blood pressure down to a healthier level just by eliminating the fast food portion of my diet. So, but it's a struggle, and I really feel for people because if you're short on funds, you really are boxed into a corner. You have to choose, and it's not fair to make people choose their life because of their budget.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I see that you're running short on time, but that's all I have to say.
No, I'm never running short on time with you. Thank you very much for the call. As always, let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Well, healthcare should never have become a business. It is a business now, unfortunately, and people are dying because of that. They should not have to choose between eating and going to the doctor to seek help. I find this atrocious in this big country that we live in. This doesn't go on anywhere else but the United States.
That's correct.
And I find it despicable. People should be allowed to go to the doctor or a clinic free of charge, find out what's wrong with you. And if they need a stay in the hospital, it should be a stay in the hospital. But I think that shame on the people who go into the medical profession and who have set this up. You're terrible people. Because people are dying because of your greed. And that's all I have to say.
Well, you said a mouthful, as always, Susan. Thank you very much for the call. You know, so many of these things that I find interesting and bring to you every morning, they impact all of us. You know, I always say it doesn't matter whether it's rural Wisconsin or whether it's urban. It's the same thing. Our system is broken, or it's tailored by people to make money and not to keep people and not to value the lives of individuals. Look, if you're born on the other side of the tracks, it should have nothing to do with whether or not you get fair and equitable treatment in a society. Not in a society that's just and right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, on a Motown Monday, war culture hates the ethical passion of the young. This is in today's Nation of Change. Young people have dared to lead the way, insisting that such a culture of death is repugnant and completely unacceptable. Persisting in his support of an unpopular war, the Democrat in the White House has helped spark a rebellion close to home. Young people, least inclined to deference, most inclined to moral outrage, are leading public opposition to the ongoing slaughter in Gaza. The campus upheaval is a clash between accepting and resisting, while elites insist on doing maintenance work for the war machine. Now, this is written by Sarah Mazzotti. I wrote the above words recently, but I could have written very similar ones in the spring of 1968. In fact, I did. Joe Biden hasn't sent U.S. troops to kill in Gaza as President Lyndon Johnson did in Vietnam, but the current president has done all he can to provide massive quantities of weapons and ammunition to Israel, literally making the campaign in Gaza possible. Listen, you know, we're at a juncture in this war that is going to escalate as we speak. And the people who are pushing back happen to be the young. You know, very few, if any, from my generation are sounding their displeasure to what's taking place. It is the young. Again, as earlier in the show, Al, who mentioned that the people who will be doing the fighting are the young. And so this, at some point in time, I remember Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said, man must put an end to war, or war will put an end to mankind. And as a young man, I didn't know what that meant. But after all these decades of watching war and watching blood spilled all over the earth, I realize exactly what he meant. The fact that all these nations have to have all these weapons of mass destruction to destroy other human beings is absolutely crazy, Luke. I mean, come on, man. Who are you? You're killing other human beings, man.
Yeah. And there's never going to be a time where we are able to eradicate war, I believe. Like, there are just evil actors out there, Earl. But the belief that young people have, and a lot of older people have as well, that supporting a ally in what is going on in Gaza, like that, there was after October 7th, there were a lot of there was wide support. Just after 9/11, there was wide support for Israel to go and to, for lack of better terminology, seek vengeance for that attack. And there was a lot of support to the United States after the 9/11 attacks.
Right.
And to perpetrate a war, though, against terror, as it was done after 9/11, and now against a terrorist organization, Hamas, there has to be an understanding that you can't get rid of an idea.
That
you can't have a war on ideas. There could be, we fought world wars between countries, and there's going to be a losing side of a country eventually in all wars. But to declare war against an ideology is a losing battle, because you will never eradicate an idea.
We spent 20 years in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting just that, the Taliban, you know. And so what you just said, It's key, because you're not going to eradicate the Hamas, because the young Palestinians, based on what they're seeing now,
if they know nothing else,
you're not going to eradicate that. As you stated, it's an ideal. You can't fight an ideal with weapons, right? I don't care how big your rockets are. Any of those things, you're not going to be able to eradicate that. And you just wonder, after all of these decades and centuries, that we haven't learned that yet. Right?
Well, there's an industry. This gets back to the student loan industry, the medical industry. We've got a very large industrialized military industry.
Biggest in the world.
Yeah.
You know, even though we only make up 4% of the global population. Yeah. I mean,
that's part of the problem there too.
I know, but as Americans, you know, a lot of times we don't want to hear it, and people from my generation, who were part of the Cold War, we saw it differently. But your generation doesn't see that, and they don't want to go. They don't want to continue with that, especially since it's sucking up all the financial resources.
Yeah,
you know, for the future. All right. Thank everybody who made the show go. Man, it's great having you on.
Luke, always a pleasure.
Dealing with you.
Always a pleasure.
And up next, Matt Nair on air and Greg Bach. Enjoy this beautiful day. Thank you for listening to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. See you tomorrow with Sandy Williams.